Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Anne-Marie Lockhart, and you're listening to Vox Poetica's 15 Minutes of Poetry. And I'm here today with two wonderful Vox Poetica favorites. We have Stan Galloway from Virginia and Cliff Brooks from Georgia, and they are currently on the road together doing an amazing book tour. So I want to welcome you both to the show. Thanks for coming and calling in, guys.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to, first, I would like to just say, you know, they're promoting these awesome books. Stan's is being released right now. Cliff's been out for a little while, but they're great. They're great books. If you really like poetry or if you don't like it at all, you're going to love what they're reading. And I'm going to I'd like you guys to start with just a selection from each of your books, if you will. If you're ready to do that right off the cuff, let's start with that.
Yeah, I'm ready. This is actually the last poem in the book, Just Married, and it's entitled Winter Weather. When your love for me is like a woodchuck in November, cold, unmoving, barely breathing, and the forecast is for sleet and snow, I pull my pores in tighter underneath the anorak I've struggled into, yet, if this November lasts 1,000 days, I will remain to start December, never backing out toward September sun, but moving for the always sought for April.
Very nice, Stan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorites. I mean, then I have my my marriage poem here called Shouldering Divorce. I handled it all wrong. The days locked away, thinking of Yates instead of you. Scowling hours, not eating, too dour to dive in and struggle us out of drowning. Too much huck to hang around. I did nothing. The whole thing went off wrong. Shouldering Divorce.
You know, they're both critical juncture poems, you know, and they're both written in the concept of a narrative about a critical point in time, and it's a similar point in time, but yeah, and they're sad, but they're not really dismal, and I think you know, the thing about Stan's poem there, that originally wasn't going to be the last poem in the book, was it, Stan? We had a different
plan
for that.
No, you told me I couldn't end with the poem I was going to end with and that I needed something else. And that's why I wrote Winter Weather.
And what I like about that is it adds a bit of hope or and even ambiguity, both of those things, to the story.
Yeah.
It's not a finished and done deal at the end of that. But what I like about hearing them side by side is you know, even Cliff's poem, there is a finality to that, but there is also an exploration of, you know, ways in which something might have gone different, which gives it a different feel. It's not hopeless, even though it's over. You know what I'm saying? It gives you a sense that there is something retrievable in it, even if it's not that relationship. And I like that theme, even though it's so differently expressed in both of those two together.
Right. Both of the personas are learning from what they've been through.
Right.
And for me, I didn't want to write something dour and hurtful. It was just, I mean, honestly, for me, I rarely came across a poem that wasn't trying to be melodramatic and woe is me, but just the story. And almost, really, I wrote it as an apology to Mac's wife. You know, I mean, things ended the way they should have, but, you know, in retrospect, maybe I could have done something differently.
You know, and I think one of the things that I like about the poetry you both write is it's very accessible emotionally, and neither of you shies away from hard material. I think Stan has veered sometimes into a little more of a remote emotional place, and I think that's changing in his work a little bit, whereas I think even when you write very cerebral stuff, Cliff, it's still it's like very emotional at the same time. I don't think you do that distant thing at all in what you write. But I think it's all very, it's not internal. It's not, you know, all about me. It's an observation about more than just my own experience. It's or one character's experience, if you will, but it's about something universal we can all hold on to. And sometimes both of you explore places we don't always want to go in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What reaction have you had to the stuff you've been reading, the stuff you've been choosing and reading together, you know, in this particular tour? What has been the response to that work?
We kind of fell into good cop, bad cop routine.
Let me guess, Stan, you were bad cop.
No, I was, because I've got the happy poems about marriage, and then Cliff will follow that up with the, but it's not always that way. And we tag team, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
And so the joke is, if we're going to read more than once, I have to find out if he's going to end on a sad note, because I'm going to have to find a happy poem to bring them back out of that.
Because we don't want anybody walking out of there and into traffic and, you know, despondent with life. So, yeah, I'm sure Stan saved more than a few lives on our little tour here.
I like that juxtaposition. And I think that you guys, in terms of both of your delivery and your writing styles, and that to explore that, you know, the concept of relationships in that way is very effective. How have you selected the poems you've been reading, aside from just mood?
For me, you know, when we started off at a bookstore called Phoenix and Dragon that this past Friday night, that, you know, it was really kind of roundabout. Everyone could get up and read. And, you know, so Stan got up and, you know, the last time I heard him is where we met at the conference where, of course, you, who wants to take credit for all these great things, introduced us. You know, he was wonderful then, but then to have a year after, you know, all this practice, silent, and in no way, you know, a lot of poets get very, you know, very, very internal and, you know, selfish. And to me, you know, it just lit me up, you know, and it's never like I looked into my book, like what's like that, or, you know, I need to find something that's not like that. It's almost like putting an album together.
Mm.
You know, so for me, it's, I can't give you a definitive answer on this poem. It's just, are both storytellers. So, I mean, for me, it's just the melody between, keeping the melody between the stories, you know, really in one coherent thread instead of, you know, just typically trying to sound alike, because that just gets boring.
I agree.
Well, and we don't sound alike. I mean, no one will mistake our poems for each other, but there is a resonance, as you pointed out at the beginning, between the themes that we deal with and the emotion that we access.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially I think, you know, and there's also, I think there's a really nice proximity in terms of you both have these books, these recent collections that, you know, while again, they're not the same by any stretch, there's a lot of places where those threads overlap, and that gives you, and in terms of the I want to say age of the material, it's not the right word, but the liveliness of the work in terms of where it's at in its own life cycle. That's at a good place to kind of gel like that when you're doing a live events.
I agree.
What's been the most surprising thing that's happened as you've gone about this tour? Each of you, if you can tell those stories, I don't know.
I mean, for me, it's always been what I brought up on when anybody even asked me about poets and poetry is that Stan and I get along so well. You know, we really didn't know each other at all when he got here. And that's just to say how I speak on how, you know, poets bitch and complain about how the poetry world is so small and guarded, and that's the poet's fault. And, you know, when Stan gets up there and just blows the crowd away, I don't feel threatened. I'm elated, you know. I mean, it's phenomenal work. And it's not to say that I'm, you know, one of the only ones but that feels like we all should be friends, but I feel like that Stan and I are in a very small group of those, you know. I mean, I've met others that do, but what I've hit is that, you know, you get into these circles where they don't want you to succeed. So between us, it's just what surprised me is just not just the friendship, but just the mutual desire to help each other get farther in literature. And, I mean, that's really what's going to keep poetry on the map, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the surprising thing for me, in addition to that, or maybe as a side issue of that, is how supportive the audience has been and how willing they have been, not just in terms of applause, but in terms of affirmative comments and and you know, and invitations to come back and those kinds of things that say, you know, we're not just being polite. You know, we really cared about what you had to say.
Truly.
Would you guys, go on.
No, on Saturday night, we were in Geelong at an art gallery, and they kept us there till 2 in the morning. And, I mean, really, it was like, we love to keep talking, but I am going to fall asleep. You know, I mean, it just blows you away because, I mean, as far as, you know, in my opinion, I mean, it's like, this is stuff that's dear to me, but I pulled it out of my head, and it's just phenomenal that it connects so deeply to people that they want to talk about it, you know, to such a length. You know, I mean, it blows me away. It's almost like a magic trick, only you don't really have the rabbit, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, I mean, honestly, it kind of reaffirms my faith that, you know what, literature just might make it. it just might make it.
Can you guys read me something else, each of you?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll go.
Go, Stan.
This is one of the ones that I like to do near the beginning because it's fun. It's a poem entitled Carnival. Why anyone would want or make a 3-foot stuffed banana, I don't know. But you said, win that for me, and I couldn't disappoint. 27 tries it took, $9 by the foot. But it was worth the smile that you wore for me and it for hours, even when the carnival had closed its gates and we were snuggled into bed, all three.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet. And actually, now I'm going to gag you with one of my own. Actually, I had a friend request that I read this on a show. And again, it's really cool. He and his wife are two of the most supportive people in my poetic endeavors so far. And again, it floors me that you know, people come forward and it's just that it means so much to them that they want to hear it and hear it in the way that it's on the radio so they can hear it over and over. And so anyway, the poem's called In an Afternoon. The two of us in bed, a nap after wine and piano. We're busy whispering, stomachs growling. Two heads are hidden under sheets so our friends won't call. I love this day, these lazy afternoons. Your pink toenails, your eyelashes. Most of all, you in an afternoon.
Yeah, I think, again, a really nice synergy between the two pieces that, you know, you couldn't have predicted initially when you set out to do this experiment, as it were.
Yeah,
and it's really
right.
Coming to life in a way that's of its own devising, you know. That's really one of the magical things about it. Now, the other question that I really wanted to ask about this experience, you've both been writing for a long time. How does an experience like this, you know, where there's this kind of, back and forth with your work in this positive environment of reading in different venues and different experiences, they're all being very positive and receptive. How does it affect you creatively for what you're going to do next or what you're thinking about doing next, what you'd like to do next?
Everything I do is research. And this is just another research project, and that might sound crass, but I mean it in the positive sense, because I'm learning things that I didn't know before about my own writing, about the way people receive writing, about Cliff and his sensibilities in such a way that now I've got a much broader range to work with than I did a week ago.
Cliff?
Yeah, I mean... I agree to it. It's experience. I mean, for me, you know, people say that they, you know, I didn't write this book to sell it, you know, I mean, but to me, in a big way, in a very big way, that's exactly what happened. It was me attempting to figure out the world and how I fit into the world. I sometimes have a very, very hard time understanding interactions and people and you know, and really how I react to things and being up in front of people and seeing how they react. I mean, it's not made me uncomfortable, but more attached. It's made me more aware, but it's not made me think, okay, I need to write more poems like that. Because it sounds so cheesy, but you don't want to write to start appeasing people because it becomes vanilla and then it doesn't apply to anyone.
Absolutely, so
to me, it's you know, hey, me struggling and trying to figure this stuff out is a struggle that many people are going through. So even if I don't have an answer, which I don't, maybe just continuing to trying to figure it out would not only help me, but would help those who want to read about it. And want to enjoy the poetry that talks about it.
I think the thing that it's funny because you're both reading work that you wrote separately in totally different projects. But it feels like this little tour feels very collaborative in many ways, and that has to do with anything that you're doing live becomes collaborative just by nature of there being an audience there. To some degree, but now it's also the dimension that occurs between the work itself and each of your delivery of it, and you know, the audience in that space. I wonder if this is in any way expanding or altering your concept of collaboration.
Well, it definitely is for me because I mean I really had no experience in it whatsoever until very recently. When at the last minute, maybe 2 months ago, I had a reading and I had a buddy who said, you know, do you mind if I read too? And I said, I'd love you to come along, man. You know, please do. And from then I just realized that, you know, it's just more, I think more fun and reaches more people when you have others reading with you. It's just, you know, it's a collaborative, you know, experience, you know, obviously, but there's just more to gain from that. And, you know, to me, it, you know, just me standing up there alone, I mean, I always, you know, it's kind of boring, you know, I mean, I enjoy making it because, again, it's I want, you know, and, I, you know, it's just that I want people to hear these poets that amaze me, you know, I mean, so if I can bring them along, you know, I'd love to do it, you know, and then with Stan, I mean, it was really just a last minute moment, you know, he just, hey, I'm coming to Georgia. Hey, that's cool. And in fact, like I showed up 5 minutes before the show and I saw him standing against the car with this book like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit him in the face with a hammer if he doesn't show up. And I'm like, hey, Sam, what's up, buddy? We're friends, right? You know, and of course, everything was wonderful then because I am prone to, you know, kind of show up in and around. I was on time, just barely. But, I mean, it really needs to be done more in the fact that it draws artists together and it draws ideas together and it gets us, you know, out of our own heads and you know, broadening our perspectives and what we write, I think.
Collaboration occurs at so many different levels, and I have been open to collaboration for a long time. You know, I've written poems collaboratively with other poets. You know, I do joint events, but this is the first time that I've been, you know, in a 1-2 kind of tandem relationship. And so it has opened my eyes a little bit to, at times I think of it as stand-up comedy. Except maybe with more cerebral laughs.
Right.
So it has stretched me, even though I've been open to that.
You know, it's like I feel like I'm with you guys right now.
We wish you were.
I know. We got to do more of this kind of thing. We got to do like these mini, like mini road tours, you know, because I think it is exactly. Where they say, what was that? Was it Patrick Henry, one of those guys who said, you know, the tree of liberty must be watered liberally with blood or whatever? You know,
right.
There's like a concept here. Right? The art of the creativity must be fed with that back and forth interaction that happens when you get artists together. It's like you guys are saying, you know, things happen in the room when you're sharing your work that way. And and it's much more complex than, I'm going to write this. We'll all work from the same prompt or something, which is great. Those things are great, too. Don't get me wrong. I love that stuff. But this is a different dynamic, and it's very living, and you need it. It's a necessity. It has to happen in order for an artist to, just expand your horizons, look in a new direction, find other things that you want to do. Just open up another ear, you know, for yourself.
Right. I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's not, and also putting your ego aside, I mean, you know, of course we read it, you know, at these events, but then, you know, we carry that energy, you know, back to the house and would sit there and read new stuff and, you know,
exactly.
He'd read me something And then I'd read something new, and he would say, you know, I really don't feel that word goes on that line, or that really doesn't mesh. And like you see in so many others, just, well, I'm taking my ball and going home. Or the other side of it saying, okay, well, I'm going to change it just because you said so. You know, just being able to listen and hear it and then,
right.
you know, explain, you know, again, just not, you know, not being so immature and, you know, and small-minded about it. I mean, I believe that there are so many wonderful poets out there that just can't get over that hurdle. And
yeah.
so for me, it's not just been the reading, it's been able to sit down with a poet that, you know, that listens and that I'm eager to listen to him. And, you know, of course, with me, at the end of his poems, I'm like, dude, I wouldn't change anything. That's perfect. And he's like, quit saying that, you know? If I had something, I'd say it. You
he's
know,
no help at all.
I really am. I'm useless. I really am. But, I mean, it is. I mean, I realize, you know, here's your little life lesson. I mean, I pushed and shoved and tried to force the universe to give me this, that, and the other. But the minute I stopped and opened my heart, I mean, all of these pieces clicked together. I mean, you know, Stan and I met a year ago, and for all intents and purposes, have never talked again. You know, I mean, we enjoyed each other's company, you know, each other's company then, but really, you know, you just kind of drift apart. So, I mean, even that this has happened is meant, you know, I cannot sit here and say it's coincidence.
No,
you know,
I agree.
I mean, it's been a phenomenal experience and one that'll happen again. You know, it's only made my work better and my confidence better and me a better performer. So, I mean, it's been a blessing to have him come down here.
I would like to ask you guys to read one more piece, each of you, as we get ready to close this show out.
All right.
Okay.
Stan, you want to go first?
Yeah. I was just thinking, you were talking about it being a blessing. It's been a blessing to me as well to be down here. And, in fact, well, Cliff, who actually has a job that he has to go to, left me at home today. And so this morning I was thinking about what I've experienced and that blessing, that hospitality that we have found, that I have found, came out in a poem that I wrote just this morning. It's entitled California Pink Champagne. The home was humble, functional, but just. You greeted us with pomp and rural courtesy that spoke your honor more than any words. We traveled long and entered late, yet you had candles lit and gave an escort from the gravel to the house. You poured us each a glass of California pink champagne to celebrate, salute, and dignify the night, my first attempt at something universally acknowledged as elite. Its fizzes scoured at my throat, not harshly, but with vigor and aplomb, to let me know this was no casual assembly. Candlelight seduced the blushing glass, projecting like the rose beneath the frail Madonna in the city church a half an hour back, and I was blessed to see how grapes refine the word humanity.
A new poem from Stan Galloway.
Brand new.
You heard it here first. I love that. Cliff, what you got?
It's not new. It's about really the same idea of the hospitality of Athens, where we are now, Athens, Georgia, and you know, really what brought me back here, and ultimately, I think the synergy and energy that had me finish this book, and why I felt that I really not just wanted to bring Stan to Atlanta, but to bring a friend down, you know, home to Athens. And this is a poem that I wrote when I came back, when life had been a little rough and you've grown up a little bit, and you're past that age where you can just write off mistakes as a youthful indiscretion. And it's called Saturday Night in Athens. Autos are boarded, then dissolve. Painted faces and polo shirts. Couples are cabbed together. Small parties primp and flirt with oyster-fed anxiety. Their voices are exaggerated, accepting, and tipsy. They come, leave, then come again. All the same, swooning on freedom, sliding towards 1 a.m. I lean, loaf, and feel old from this second-story window. Staring off, sober, I'm a voyeur, watching for bluesy women. Saturday Night in Athens.
And it, you know, once again, it's two, you know, very different poems, but you're speaking to, you know, really very related concepts. And, you know, I know there's no way for you guys to really plan that because Stan's poem is new, and I know that one of yours, Cliff. So it's not, you know, it's a chemistry between the work, you know, in the pieces of the work that comes out, and it kind of takes on its own space. And I really love what you guys are doing this week. I really do. And I definitely think that a whole lot more of this kind of thing needs to happen in just the whole artistic community, but particularly, you know, the part that concerns us. Because that matters to me most. We're out of time. We're totally out of time. So I'm going to have to, you know, say we're going to have to do this again from another road trip at a certain point. And we'll see where and how and all the details of that. But give us all, before you go, tell us just in one sentence or two about the books that you're promoting on this tour.
Just Married, coming out from Unbound Content this month. Get it from Anne Marie.
I am still touring with The Draw Broken Eyes and Whirling Metaphysics, but I am more than halfway through a new book of poetry called Athena Departs, which I'm extremely excited about.
Excellent. This has been great fun, guys. I want you to finish out the book tour with a tremendous success and all the energy that's been carrying you forward through it. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Everyone, listen up for their work. You can find it in 1,000 places online. Google them. Cliff Brooks, Stan Galloway. You know their names. You've read their work. You know how great they are. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.